This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Front Row. I'm Lee Chui Lin. As part of its annual presentation of the Premium Imperial, likened to the Nobel Prizes of the Arts, the Japan Art Association also makes grants to young artists. And its 2016 20th grant for this group goes to Five Arts Centre Malaysia. The grant was announced on September 13th in a press conference in Tokyo when the grant of 5 million yen was given to Datin Marion de Cruz, founder member of Five Arts Centre. And she's here today with Mark Tay, who's from the generation that will inherit Five Arts from its founders. Marion, Mark,
hi,
welcome to the
afternoon.
Show.
Hi, first of all, I wish that 5 million yen were given to me and I would go out and buy some isemiyaki, but no, it's actually given to Five Arts Centre.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Were you even aware that Five Arts was in the running for the award? When did you hear about it?
We were not aware about anything. We got a letter in March telling us that this was happening, and the letter was not sort of, you know, it was just a letter that said you have been awarded this, and the press conference will be this, and we will be coming to visit you in April, etc. So it was all already, you know, done, fait accompli. So we were like, okay, what's this? We're not very sure. And we thought, maybe this is an email scam. No, we really did, because, you know, it just really came out of the blue. So then we made some calls and verification with Japan Foundation KL, and they said, no, this is not an email scam, it's the real thing. And that, yes, this is this organization, etc. So then we started communicating with Japan Art Association, and it really came out of the blue. We didn't know about this grant even. We never applied for it, obviously, if we didn't know about it. And then one of the main members of the organization, Mr. Nobutoshi, he came in April, and he spent about 3-4 days here. So he interviewed various members of Five Arts Center and also some of the young people who were doing a project called Tiga with us at that time. Shot videos, took photographs. So in preparation for the press conference. So yeah.
How did it feel once you realized that you weren't being internet scammed? Once you realized that, okay, this is a thing, this is happening?
The best way to describe it is like it's like a durian runtuh moment, you know? You're like, OMG, and it remains unbelievable for a long time. So for many months it was like, oh my God, you know, like, why us? How? You know, and then we, you know, go and read up about the organization and who have been the past grantees and so on and so forth. And the more you try and find out, the more unbelievable it gets. You know, there's no like, oh, patutnya lah. You know, there was never that moment, oh, okay, now we know why. But of course, you know, it's shocking and it's amazing and it's surreal. But at the same time, you kind of go, you know, you go, wow, you know, like, this is actually really wonderful, because, you know, 32 years we're doing stuff, and, you know, as I said to someone yesterday, us and any artist, I think, in Malaysia or the world, you're doing stuff because you have something to say and you have art to make and you have an inspiration, you have a message, or you want to entertain or provoke audiences. You don't make your art for the anugerah and for the award. So when it happens and it just happens like that, it really is like, it kind of makes you think, oh, okay, what we've been doing has been worthwhile. It matters and people have seen it and people notice that it matters. And it's great. It's great. And I think, I mean, of course it's great for us, but I also feel that it's great for all artists to feel that there are lights maybe at the end of the tunnel, you know. Maybe Mark has more to add.
You're trying to look for some kind of logic when you get these kind of news. You know, it's different from, like, say, the local awards, where, you know it's ongoing, there are nominations, things like that. So when this one kind of came out of the blue, and we tried to do some research to kind of frame our own understanding of it, and even then, you know, this Grant for Young Artists Award, which is always given to organizations that support young artists, we found that you know, in its history, they've always given them to like classical music orchestras or choirs, and we were like, okay, so where do we sit within this worldview? Where do we sit within this way of looking at art? Because clearly our work is not classical, and it's extremely urban based. It's extremely divergent, and you know, involves lots of different ways of thinking about making art, whether it's visual arts or theatre or even new media these days. I think what is interesting for me is that maybe it's a kind of validation for this very multiple ways of working. Yeah.
Considering that difference in, you know, previous grantees and yourselves, considering that it came just out of the blue, there was no application process, there was no, okay, let's try and see whether we get this. What do you think drew Fife Arts Centre into, you know, into the radar of the Japan Art Association?
I think maybe there are a couple of reasons, some historical and maybe some more recent. I think one is that, you know, historically Fife Arts has had some kind of a relationship with Japan. You know, Marion's work in the 90s, you know, Marion toured there quite a lot with her dance performances. There was a big project called Dance Tonpu 2, which was done with Keiko Takeya and Makoto Sato. And Marion also toured her other pieces there as well. And of course, much more recently, maybe over the last, say, 5 years, some of Fife Arts members have been appearing there to do talks in their own capacities. People like Janet Pillay, and who's an academic as well, has been presenting a lot on the cultural mapping, education, pedagogic work. And also some of the younger kind of people in Fife Arts like myself have been touring our performances there, where we've been, our show, Baling, has been co-produced by the TPAM in Yokohama, as well as in Kyoto Experiment in October this year. So there's a kind of ongoing relationship or dialogue, I guess you can say, with producers there, arts professionals there, audiences there. I guess that's one in relation to Japan. And perhaps another one which may be more in relation to kind of looking at how Fife Arts functions, maybe also it says something about the fact that we're a collective. You know, most arts organizations, not just in Malaysia, but in lots of parts of the world, are identified by their artistic directors who stay on until they get bored and close the company or whatever. And, you know, Fife Arts, we try and work as a collective, and we have 13 members currently. And there have actually been 11 people who were members at some point who have now left or have passed on. So this kind of multiplicity, I think, is a feature of our work, and maybe, I mean, I would like to think that's something which this organization, Japan Art Association, found interesting, that this very unusual way of working intergenerationally, interdisciplinarily, is able to sustain over such a long time.
As far as these grants and awards go, how would you describe Fife Arts' position? You know, has it received its fair share? Is it underrepresented? You know, where on that spectrum do you think you lie?
I think locally, I think we have been lucky, because we have, you know, received sponsorship, funding, grants from cultural agencies, from private corporations, and from the government over the years, right from day one. So, you know, we have had that support. And in the last maybe in the last 5 years, that support has grown. So one of the first corporations who came in to, you know, and give us very good support was Astro, and, you know, made us quite stable. So, and then recently the Yayasan Saim Dabi, JKKN, you know, so I think, it, you know, looking at that, we've had good support, I would say. And we've had good support, and in the last 10 years, we've had even more. Yeah.
Mark, picking up on your point earlier about the multiplicity of members, you know, within Fife Arts, who are the drivers in the centre now that the organisation is, you know, 30-odd years old? You know, how much is driven by the founders? How much by, say, you know, the quote-unquote younger ones?
Yeah, I think the most politically correct way to answer this, with Marion sitting right next to me, of course, is, I'm not being facetious, I think it's an ongoing dialogue, and it includes friction, you know, and it's something that we like and we identify ourselves with, right? It is actually, it could be potentially a lot easier to work, you know, as a kind of cohort of your own generation. For me, the people who are driving 5Arts, well, you know, as an example, our next year's program, Marion's doing a dance project, a dance and lighting project with Mac Chan, who's a member of 5Arts as well. Janet Pillay is going to do an archive project looking at children's theatre history, or arts education history in Malaysia. Myself and some of my colleagues will be making a new show. There will be a new edition of 2-Minute Solos, which Marion kind of pioneered a few years ago, which will be produced by Jun Tan. So that is only some of the fragments that we'll be exploring next year. So it is a kind of productive relationship where lots of people are still active, whether they're in their late career, senior artists, or they are still kind of finding their feet. And by that, I mean like artists who are actually in their 20s who we've been producing and working with and supporting.
I think this business of collective is difficult. Most arts companies, yeah, as Mark said, you know, there's an artistic director. So it's kind of difficult to grasp. And this idea of this kind of fluidity and also the kind of democratic process that we practice is actually very difficult. It is very difficult. You know, at many times, you know, I think like, oh, you know, okay, I won't say those words, but, you know, it might be so much easier just to have one artistic director who's going to decide this is what we're doing for the next 2 years, blah, blah, blah.
A benevolent dictator of sorts.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But, you know, thankfully, those moments sit in my head only for like, you know, a few seconds and go, no, let's not have one. Let's just work through this, you know. So the direction of the company is led by the multiplicity, actually. So like when we plan for, you know, we usually plan now about 2 years ahead. You know, it's everybody. It's young, old, black, blue, yellow, green, who are all putting in the ideas. And then the individual projects are either creatively led or, you know, production-wise led by, you know, different members. So it is very sort of kind of complex and layered.
Maybe if I can just jump in. I mean, you know, like just to place the discussion in a larger context, you know, I think... There was a movement in the 80s in Southeast Asian arts where, you know, there was a kind of collective endeavor, where there was in Indonesia, Thailand, Malaysia, so on and so forth. But also, you know, if we pull out and look at organizations that started in the 80s, and not just look at 5Arts as an arts organization, but you also have organizations in civil society, you know, that were formed in the 80s. And to me, this is really interesting when I look at it in a longer term, you know, and not just as an arts project, but, you know, organizations like Women's Aid Organization, AWAM, a lot of the women's group, a lot of the civil society groups, the NGOs that are still on, I mean, things like Tenaga Nita, things like Swaram, and so there was this moment in the 80s when people were thinking, in dealing with the figure of a benevolent dictator, you know, like Dr. Mahathir and his emergence, you know, there was a kind of moment where people thought, hey, let's look at alternative models, yeah. Let's look at alternative ways of existing and being an organization in a society, you know, so... Yeah, I just wanted to kind of put that out there. I thought it was...
Yeah, and I guess the reason why we don't change to, okay, let's just... is because through the frictions and so on, it has worked. It still is working for now.
So it makes the difficult process worth it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And it makes all those different voices, including, you know, the 11 who were, you know, at different times members of 5Arts and have left, and like, you know, we have at least 100 whom we call Friends of 5Arts Centre, who are kind of an inner circle. So that's a very large inner circle. You know, there's 13 and then there's 100. Okay, Marion, that doesn't work. But still, it's true. We have these who really are Friends of 5Arts Centre. And they've worked on several projects and all. So, you know, those multiple voices. So it's not just the 13 voices, really. It's really multiple voices that have made... I think the work so diverse and so exciting, and it also makes us really, really interrogate our work, you know, in a much more critical, reflective kind of manner than, you know, if you're just kind of in your own little bubble. Yeah.
I'm speaking today with Datin Marion De Cruz and Mark Day, both of Five Arts Centre, and we're discussing their recent award of a grant from the Japan Art Association. Up next, we find out a little bit more about what it means that the grant is named for young artists. You are listening today to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture. And my guests today are both from Five Arts Centre, Datin Marion De Cruz and Mark Day. And we are discussing their recent, well, their recent awarding of 5 million yen, or they were awarded it rather, a grant from the Japan Art Association. And that was a grant to young artists, quote unquote. What does that mean? I mean, does the fact that the grant is named for young artists mean that they're looking for people who are, you know, who are younger, who are being the drivers in their organizations or who are being the drivers in the productions that they're putting out?
I think it was quite a wide kind of criteria, you know, and not particularly fixed. So we looked at the organizations and I think they seem to award organizations basically that involve young people in their work. And that seemed to be primarily it, yeah.
And I think also, you know, in just chats with them, in the beginning it was just the Premium Imperial where they gave these, you know, these sort of major artists like Sophia Loren and, you know, I don't know,
Martin Scorsese Cindy Sherwin,
and Cindy, yeah, you know, yeah. These sort of, and at some point, which was in 1997, they you know, they themselves thought, okay, the, you know, people we're giving are really established and older, as in age older artists, and what about, you know, the young, vibrant, energetic artists? So that's when they decided to start the grant for young artists in 97. And then, yeah, as Mark said, you know, they looked, I think in the first 10 years, they were looking at youth orchestras, film academies, you know, things like that, if you look at the list. So from what, you know, we understand right now, it's kind of twofold from what I gather. So it's looking at artists who are not, you know, at the, you know, pinnacle of their career, but are young, vibrant and energetic, quote unquote, is for what they said. And also maybe organizations or artists who are working with young artists or training workshops and things. So I guess maybe in our case, then we kind of fall into both those categories because we've done quite a lot of programs for young people. And then individually as well, you know, we, like Janet, as Mark said, Janet's work both through Five Arts and through her other organization, Arts at N, has involved a lot of young people. And also we're all teachers. I don't think that might matter to the Japan Art Association, but many of us are teachers, so we're dealing with young people all the time. And maybe it does matter. I don't know, you know, how their kind of investigation goes as to, and their criteria. So, but looking at Five Arts itself, I believe that it's this two-pronged thing. You know, both we are considered young artists, although I'm 62 years old. I'm very young. I'm at the start of my career. But, you know, Mark is 35 years old and, you know, has been touring Baling. So, you know, I think that's, yeah.
Have you ever considered recruiting 20-year-olds, teens, you know, people younger than people below 30?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Actually, historically, Five Arts has always done that. In fact, I joined Five Arts when I was like 20 or something.
Yeah.
But I think the larger question maybe is also the question of membership within Five Arts is also evolving and changing, you know. Not that we don't want to have new members. Actually, we do. But it's also the model of a collective changes. And we realize over the years that actually there are a lot more collectives that have been formed. Or people are members of two or three or four collectives. Or people want to work on a project-to-project basis, you know, to kind of hitch yourself to a particular history. Comes with both great support, but also certain baggages, right? Like, do I want to be identified with the history of Five Arts Centre, for example, you know, or do I just want to work on 1, 2, 3 projects of them, and then I'll see, you know, if there's something more long term, more sustainable that I wanna do. So it's an ongoing process, actually. As Marion mentioned, we work with so many different young artists now, and in many cases, we really see ourselves providing platforms. You know, no need to come under our brand, no need, you know, like actually decentralizing maybe is something which is important as well.
And here's where the friction comes in between the generations.
Because Marion doesn't think so.
Because in the old days, well, I'm quite an open old person. But in the old days, I used to, you know, every few years say, okay, it's time to invite, you know. So, and we would invite people, you know, would you like to be a member of Five Arts? This is what we're about and all that. And people have said yes and come in, like very happy to do it. And other people have said, oh, no, you know, like, you know, I really love Five Arts, and I'll do, as Mark said, and I'll do projects, and I'm, you know, always part of our family, but I don't need to be a member. So now this kind of fluidity in membership and people coming in, I think it's different. I think it's different when you come in as a member, whatever that means, that there is a certain amount of responsibility and there is a certain amount of commitment, and your thoughts and your vision and everything you contribute. And when you come in on a project-to-project basis, it's different. So in many ways, I still prefer the kind of old model. Yes, let's get in some 20-somethings and some 70-somethings. You know, I don't think we should just get in 20-somethings. I think I spent so much of my life concentrating on young people that now I'm thinking, okay, let me do both sides now. But, you know, but a lot of people, people when you approach them, have a different thinking about membership. So whether I like it or not, then I have to say, oh, okay, then we can't, you know. But I like the old-fashioned membership system, I must say that I think it's because of that old-fashioned system that we have in the forefront of Five Arts Centre now, not Marion de Cruz, who is 62 years old, but Mark Tay and June Tan and Chisek Thim and Fahmy, who are in their, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s. So, yeah. I'll put that out there.
It's been put out there.
Love this. I feel like I'm getting insight into that very friction in the process you're talking about. Now, I think it makes sense to ask you both, you know, because you mentioned you teach, so you're working with the young. You know, not only are you trying to provide opportunities, but you're actually kind of involved very directly in that sense. What do the young contribute to the dynamics of the local art scene, and how does that work out against, for example, if you did next year get a 20-year-old and a 70-year-old, you know, what, aside from obviously their uniquely individual points of view, what would their age bring? You know, what would that contribute?
Okay, I teach and I just love my students. The good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, they drive you crazy, but, you know, So on both spectrums, a 20-year-old and a 70-year-old, okay, I think for the young person, you know, that their worldview of how the world operates, for me as an older person, is very important. How they work, how they operate, how they think, how they evaluate stuff, how much time they're willing to spend. It's all really different. And for me, it's a constant learning curve, constantly. And then at the other end, you know, if we have a, you know, 70-year-old something, then there's that whole wisdom of knowledge and experience, which, you know, one is also able to tap into. So the young person, for me, the young person has so much to learn and the old person has so much to contribute. The world is not like that anymore, you know. So it's the amount of contribution is really padat on, you know, right through the spectrum. And then it's a matter of everyone being able to elicit the best from all these people, and at the same time, feed them with ideas and provoking questions and things to be able, which we have to do with each other as well. You know, like, you know, I will go and watch Baling and ask Mark, you know, why this, why that, or, you know, somebody will come and watch my work and all that. So I think that kind of discussion, that kind of provocation across artists and generations is what is very, very needed in the arts world right now, because there's a lot of work being done and there's a lot of very bad work being done. So how do we then help artists, you know, to to think about. It's not even a matter of to make better work, but to think about making work that has greater intensity or greater effect. Yeah.
And you've said in the past, Marion, you aim to provide opportunities and venues for experimental articulation of distinctly Malaysian narratives. Now, I think anybody in Malaysia would know that that's kind of a loaded thing to say, distinctly Malaysian. What qualifies as that?
I think maybe I can answer on behalf of Marion, and she will disagree, which is the point. But I think that the question of distinctly Malaysian is precisely that it is unstable and that it should be constantly questioned and that it should be constantly changing. So I think maybe when I'm not sure when the context of that particular quote comes from, but I think when Five Arts was formed in the 80s, you know, this was the kind of post-colonial moment, right? And it's something which was regional and not just specifically Malaysian. Well, not even regional, you know, like we can talk about Africa and Latin America and so on and so forth. So you know, this was when nationalism was a kind of binding force. There was a kind of investment in looking intellectual as well as, you know, other kinds of investment looking at inherited forms, colonial forms, traditional forms, folk forms, so on and so forth. But I think looking at the question of distinctly Malaysian work now, a lot of the stuff that Five Arts strove to do in the 80s actually is done now. I mean, anytime you go to a KL Park or PJ Live Arts or DPAC, the majority of it is Malaysian work.
Yeah.
You know, so that question is maybe not so significant or important anymore.
Yeah.
And it's actually more important to leave it open and that it can change because in many ways it's a historical question. And history is just a boring way to say change or reaction and counter-reaction or how do you say, like, disruptions and disjunctures. Yeah.
On that note, what do you both see the role of the arts in the context of Malaysian society as? You know, as Malaysian society changes, as the role of the arts probably will shift, will move around, right now and, you know, heading a little bit forward, where do you see that going? What is the role of the arts in the context of our society as we occupy it, as we live it?
You first.
I'm not a very prescriptive person, you know, so... So I think it is there as a practitioner. I would say it is there to open up new spaces, new provocations, new questions, new platforms, and to revisit old questions and old ghosts and inherited histories and traditions that still are vital and have relevance in order to deal with them anew with fresh eyes, fresh perspectives, and also to embrace some of this stuff which is inherited and useful and relevant, you know. Well, I mean, that's really...
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, what is the role of art anywhere? And I would say it is to provide another possibility. Another possibility of looking at something, of thinking about something, and not a closed, boxed-in possibility, but a possibility that what if it was like this instead of like this, and what if this interpretation is like this instead of like this, and that via those multiple possibilities that one could help shape our society in manners which are more humane and more just and more truthful, it sounds like very lofty, but really I think it is to give that other possibility.
And with such a prestigious recognition under your belt, what's next for Five Arts?
Oh man, yeah, you know, like, Five Arts over the last few years, we've kind of evolved to the stage, I think, where we now plan 2 or 3 years in advance,
yeah.
Right? Like, you know, I think in the early years or even early decades, it used to be like, okay, everyone, let's gather around end of year. You know, what do you want to do next year? And then we kind of go from there.
Well, when we started, it was, okay, so what's our next project?
Yeah.
Literally,
yeah.
Not
yeah.
What's our next year.
Yeah.
When we started, it was, what is our next project?
Yeah.
So somebody asked me recently, so what's the biggest change? And one of the biggest changes is that oh, we have a 2-year plan, you know, right now. So our 2-year plan
So there are, of course, we'll always continue to make performances. So next year, Marion is doing a new project called The Ballet, where she is working with Ivy Josiah, who's a Five Arts member, and Mac Chan, lighting designer. So Mac is going to design the lights first and then give the lights over to Marion and Ivy to choreograph and work around. Because usually the choreographer, the director, the creator starts, and then the design people come in towards the end of the process. So they're going to tebale or upside down the process. That's a performance. We have 2-minute solos, which Jun Tan is producing. The kind of idea originated from Marion, where there are these 2-minute performances, and we invite a whole bunch of people, some who have performed, some who haven't, to kind of do that. So these are the kind of more performance projects. I'll be doing something new as well. And I think we're trying to bring something from
Tigger and Penang.
Yeah. So then we have some platforms for young people.
Both here and in Penang. Because one of our members, Chi Sek Tim, is based in Penang.
Yeah.
And then we have 2 big archive projects that we're doing, which is the one Mark spoke about earlier, which is the archiving of Janet's children's theatre training and productions from the 1970s till now. And another archive project, which is being led by Kathy Rowland, looking at creating an archives for Malaysian theatre. And we have a publication, which is, you know, we had a conference last year, the Unfinished Business Conference. So it's the conference proceedings, sort of, which will come out in a publication. So that's between now and the end of next year, which is a lot for a small company. But I guess we can't call ourselves a small company anymore, although we really are.
I've been talking today with Datin, Marion De Cruz and Mark Day of Five Arts Centre. They received the 2016 grant for young artists from the Japanese Art Association recently in a ceremony in Tokyo. Thank you both very much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having us.
You've been listening today to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.